We get comments all the time on the YouTube channel when people see what livestock we've just brought to the homestead. Maybe it was our most recent ones, our brand new beef cattle, the Scottish Highland cattle. Maybe it's the Cooney Cooney pigs. Maybe it's some rare chicken breed my son got. And half the comments say, oh man, I love those. Those are amazing. I want to have them. Or we have those. We love them so much. And the other half say, you're an idiot. Why would you ever get that? You should have got this. That's one of the things I love about homesteading. Every one of us have a different need on our homestead, a different purpose, something that we're trying to fill, something that we're trying to do. And based off those needs, based off what we want to do with our little homestead, we wind up picking all kinds of different animals, different projects, different things to try. And all our homesteads end up looking so unique. They're little postage stamps all across the world, filled with different animals, different plants, different projects. Today we're going to take a trip to a homestead that's not too far from mine. We're going to Ohio. And it's a homestead that I know you're going to like visiting. Sarah and her husband are running an awesome homestead, and I'm really impressed because they've only been at it a couple years, and you would never know it looking at all the animals and all the stuff that they have here. Today we've got Sarah Rowe joining us. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, good to be here. When I first started homesteading, you were one of the places I watched.
Oh man, I love hearing that.
Yeah, it was you and Justin Rhodes were like my gateway into the homestead, especially the homestead like YouTube network.
Oh, well, that's awesome to hear, as long as it was good advice. Did it work out okay?
Yeah, you know, I mostly have livestock, so.
Not a whole lot of dead stock?
Yeah, not a whole lot of dead stock.
The most important question I have to get right in at the beginning, Sarah. If you were to pick one animal to bet on in the wrestling ring, which homestead animal would be the best in the ring?
A broody hen.
Ooh, I like that. Not what I was expecting.
They got nothing to lose. They're savage. The chickens themselves are savage. So, like, if they have another reason to just not care and to risk their life to defend something, broody hen for sure. Ray just got we still have some broody hens, believe it or not. And Ray still got his hand murked the other day by one of our Orpingtons.
I was going to say, somebody must have got hurt recently from broody hen because that came so fast. You're ready with it. Well, for those who are watching who don't know, the reason I asked Sarah this, Sarah was a professional wrestler.
My family is from northeastern Kentucky area, and wrestling there was a huge thing. Like, it was the only thing that made my mama cuss. Like, we watched it all the time. And it was never something I was like, when I grow up, I'm going to be a wrestler, because it never seemed attainable. Like, it was in the stars somewhere. So I reached out to someone I knew was a wrestler. It's called independent wrestling, and they were like, hey, there's a show in your town Saturday. And I was like, first of all, there's a show in town Saturday and I'm a wrestling fan and don't know about it. The promoting probably wasn't very good. But I went to that show, and it was hardcore wrestling. So they were using like light bulbs and thumbtacks and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I was like, I'm going to get hurt. I can do this. Four days after I graduated high school, I flew to Japan and lived in Japan for like 9 months altogether, and became a wrestler. And like everyone says, the rest is history. I grew up on a farm. My papa had one. They used to, they weren't like, they didn't have a lot of money, so they used to rent and lease land when my papa was growing up. We had beef cows and some dairy cows. Real small scale though, kind of like what I have here. But my family farms so much different than I farm. Like, I had to argue with my papa when I first started this farm that cows can in fact be grass fed. He was like, cows need corn, cows need grain. They won't survive without it. And I'm like, no, like, and he actually came to my farm for the first time like 2 days ago and got to see everything, which was cool. That my cows were in fact not dead. and I did help farm. We helped, they raised Herefords and Black Angus. So there was a lot of like pooling calves, and I was mainly kind of doing just kind of cleanup work. By the time the farm was kind of disbanded, was about the age I was old enough to really like pull my own weight around the farm. So the farm got smaller as I got older, and it became non-existent as I got older. Not a lot of family members kind of wanting to take over the farm. You know, they're going into other ventures and whatnot. But I decided, especially after I started making money with WB, I was like, I want to pour it into the land and make our cost of living less and less each year, because wrestling isn't going to be around forever. So that's ultimately why I started farming again, kind of getting back to my roots. And hunting was a big thing growing up with everyone. But gender roles were a big thing in my family. So a female out doing like the farm work and doing hunting was very taboo. And I really had to like fight to be able to do anything outside with everyone that wasn't, you know, my my womanly duties.
Wow, that surprises me. I guess in one way it surprised me. It's something that I think a lot of people face. But looking at you now and having followed you guys for a while, seeing what a passion you have for hunting and how much, I think in the last couple months on your Instagram feed, every other picture you're up in a harness. So.
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, I'm the only one in my family that still farms and hunts, like, definitely farms, but like that still hunts like regularly.
Wow. Were you left out completely? Like you never got to go hunting as a kid?
I got to do like the tracking and the processing and stuff like that. But I was never allowed to like pull the trigger. And all my family like rifle hunted. So seasons weren't super long.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Or gun hunted. Seasons weren't super long. So now that I bow hunt, like the first deer I actually like pulled the trigger on was for my wedding.
Wow.
It'll be 3 years on the 21st. But like there's no more big lead up than that. Like my whole childhood I've been around it and involved in it, and like I never, and you get that thing like, can I pull the trigger? Like I think I can, but when I'm up there and the deer's looking me in the face, like am I gonna be able to you know, go through with it? And I did. I did so much, in fact, that I got my husband to be an adult onset hunter, which he's more beginner than I am now.
That's good. That's awesome. I love that. I am very active with my kids. I have a pile of children, but the two that are old enough to actually be mentored. My son is my oldest, but my daughter is just a year and change younger than him, and you know, she has a passion for hunting. My son loves it too, but she's an archer, and my son likes fishing season and hunting, so he's like torn. My daughter's all in on the hunting. And to hear, you know, how much all those years you were around it and saw it and you wanted to be a part of it, it's amazing to see how much it's a part of what you guys do now. And anybody who follows you on social media or, you know, watches your guys' videos sees, you guys, it's part of your life. And I really like, when I was reading your bio on your website, you guys talked about how everything you do on your homestead, whether it's hunting, whether it's farming, it's all to just feed the family. It's all got that goal. Is that?
I'm either taking care of food, hunting for food, or being food my whole life. I still breastfeed my son. My whole life is about food.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's about the homesteader life, right? That's about you're constantly working on food. Just this morning, we actually got in from a hunt, and we're cutting up heart to get ready and tenderloin for, you know, for dinner later this week, right? Yes. Yep. So you're always.
I think we're the only species now that our days aren't evolved around food. Like if you look at the cows or the chickens or whatever, they're either sleeping or eating or trying to get food or looking for food. And we're the only like species that's kind of gone against our nature, and food is just kind of like an afterthought or something someone else should worry about, you know?
So interesting, because when you think about for a lot of human history, it wasn't that way, right? If you think about like a hunter-gatherer, their whole day, I mean, hunter-gatherer, that sounds like the best kind of life you could possibly have. I wish I could be just a hunter-gatherer and not have to make content or nothing, you know, just go out there and pick berries and shoot a deer. Now we have to do all this other stuff, which, you know, for you, you grew up, you got into doing wrestling. Tell us a little bit, how long were you a professional wrestler? You know, how'd you meet your husband?
I've been professional wrestling like over a decade now, like just over 10 years. I would say I'm kind of in my like lull right now. Like, no one quits professional wrestling. Like, wrestling quits you. Like, you don't stop until like there's still like 7-year-old wrestlers that are still falling down for a living. But I've been wrestling since 2011. So it's been a freaking crazy ride. Like, I went from like bumping on or falling on glass and thumbtacks to being at front of 80,000 people at WrestleMania. Like, it's really gone full circle. I met my husband at wrestling. There was a company called Ring of Honor. It was back on like the independent wrestling scene before we got to WWE. We started dating, so we've gotten to take this kind of WWE journey together, which has been amazing. And I'm thankful that we both do wrestling, because it's a very hard career, and it's a hard career to understand, especially from like an outside perspective, like the toll it takes on your mind and your body and in your time. It's a very time-consuming job. And I'm thankful that our hobbies kind of align as well, because if like Ray was on the road for a week or whatever and he comes home and I hated hunting and he liked hunting, he would feel pretty crappy about going to hunt when I've been alone with cash for, you know, a week.
Yeah.
So it's cool that our hobbies also align, so we can kind of do fun things together. I think that's probably been the biggest adjustment, having a kid, is all the things we did together, we, for a temporary amount, you know, a temporary amount of time, have to do like separately.
Yeah.
Because someone has to stay with cash and someone, so like, we'll still hunt, but like I hunt today and then Ray will hunt tomorrow, you know, like we're going to try to, cause Cash is still like exclusively breastfed. So we're going to try to, like finagle a hunt. Cause we have 50 acres here. So we have like 30 of woods that we can hunt. We're going to try to see if one of our moms can watch Cash, so we can at least have one hunt together. Nice. We want to put the saddles both in the tree and kind of hunt on top of each other.
Cool.
We'll see who gets the arrow down first.
It's a race against each other. So what made you guys decide? I mean, you're in a lifestyle where you're probably traveling a lot, right? You're in different places.
Yeah.
What in the world made you decide, you know what, let's put roots down and start a homestead?
So people watch those like factory farming documentaries, right? Where like cows are getting, you know, every animal's getting mistreated. It's like dirty. It's just gross. And most people, when they watch that stuff, they're like, I shouldn't eat meat anymore. I'm going to be a vegan or a vegetarian. When I watch that stuff, I'm like, I'm not going to stop eating meat. I'm going to do it in a way I think is right. I'm going to do it in the way I think is best. So I farm for the same reason why people are vegetarian, because I don't like the way it's done on a large, you know, like meat industry scale. And I want what's best for my body. I want what's best for my family's body. So that's why we do grass-fed, grass-finished. That's why we have our own chickens. That's why we're considering getting more animals. Because I'm just trying to be like the healthiest I can be, and especially having a kid. Like, I know the struggles you guys have had with like allergies and stuff, because I watched the Homestead Homesteady YouTube show. It really makes you think that like you can't trust nobody, to the point where I spend all my days preparing my food because I don't trust how everyone else does it. So that's why I homestead.
pretty much expressed the same arc Kay and I took when we decided to start this lifestyle. She, kind of like you, did come from, you know, growing up around this farm stuff. I did not. But yeah, that we literally watched those documentaries and made that decision not to say, okay, I can never eat meat again. Because meat, as you know, working your land, seeing what it does, meat is good for the planet, right? Our animals are good for the planet. Our chickens and our cows, they make our pastures more lush and our land.
Preach.
Right?
Yeah, amen.
It's what this, what the land needs. So the answer, if you like meat and if you want to eat meat, isn't, well, now I can't eat it anymore because some people do a bad job with it. It's, well, what can we do for ourselves and how can we do better? And you guys, tell us, what do you have on the homestead right now as far as animals go? What's the extent of it?
So we have 7 Highland cattle. We thought we had 4 bulls. We have 3 yeah. bulls. We found out that one of our Mr. Krabs is a Mrs. Mr. Krabs now. And we have our chickens free range. So we have anywhere between 20 and 30 chickens at a time. We used to lose them to predators a lot, but we had our rooster. He's an excellent guard rooster, even though we fight sometimes. And we haven't lost one since, but they get run over by cars sometimes because modernization. But so we have 7 cows, around 20 to 30 chickens, and we're debating on whether we want sheep or like a farm pig, like a Ooh, pig we could just fatten up and, you know, butcher.
When you guys found this homestead, I mean, if people watch your channel or follow you on Instagram, and we'll share all the links at the end here, definitely go and follow Sarah and everything they're doing. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. Tell me about what were you looking for when you found your homestead? Tell us a little bit about it.
We were looking for land. Honestly, like when we first started looking, we're like, all right, we want to look somewhere we can hunt. We like a lot, our freezers are primarily filled with hunted meat. So we're like, we want to look for a place we can hunt. And then we found this place that has like 20 acres of tillable and like 30 acres of woods. And we're like, oh, this is perfect. We came here. The guy that used to own this place, his name is Chuck. He's amazing. Love him. He's my 7-year-old best friend. And he kind of made us fall in love with the property because, like, I'm a big believer in, like, homes only as good as your neighbors kind of thing, if you do have neighbors. And the kind of the want for cows and the kind of wants for chickens kind of evolved in its own way. Like, we didn't originally buy this place. We're like, all right, we're going to put grass-fed cattle on here. We're going to get chickens. It like, evolved as food got worse and worse. And, like, well, my knowledge – food actually got like my knowledge got better to see that the way the meat industry is done, even kind of on like a small scale, like grain feeding, for instance, like it's awesome. And I'd be lying if like I didn't say I still bought some grain fed steaks from like a local farmer when I, you know, there's only so many steaks on the cow and we're not at butchering yet. But I hate driving around where I live and seeing like all the monocrop dead land, and just I really am like, man, we just need to get some animals on there, like get back into like regenerative agriculture. And I was just something that me and Ray became passionate about, and so our farm kind of evolved with us. It wasn't what we originally had planned for this place. Like, we were just gonna hunt and we're like, oh, we have all this front space, but it ends up being perfect. Like, the guy that used to own this place made hay on it. So the hay we have here that grows fantastic. Cause he used to grow hay on the fields, and it's kind of worked out great.
What made you guys decide in your second year of homesteading, let's get some Highland cattle?
Well, we knew we wanted a durable breed. We wanted something that didn't need infrastructure. We knew we wanted something that was grass-fed and thrived on a grass-fed diet, and Highlands are adorable. So we were like, this is like, because we used to send Highland cattle like pictures to each other on Instagram all the time. And we're looking for cows. We were like, holy crap. Like, I think these cows are what we need. Like, we live in Cleveland. We're right by the Lake Erie. Like, our weather here, I mean, you guys live up north, you know, our weather here is crazy. So we needed cows that were hardy. And like, our cows don't have a barn. They just have trees.
Isn't like, that so nice? Oh, man.
A lot of people are like, if you build Highlands a barn, you'll get frustrated because they'll just stand next to it.
Yeah. Yeah. That is one of the best things. I think when it comes to a homesteading breed, as we were doing our research, we do have a nice barn and it's full. It's got all the animals we could possibly fit in it. And we wanted more beef, but we couldn't have something that ever needed to get in the barn. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so nice for homesteaders is you can have this animal out there. He's got a shaggy coat on. He's happy. He's warm. Yeah, he's going to be okay. And then you don't have to worry about building a big expensive barn. And then on top of that, maintaining it, cleaning. That's another thing I hate about having this barn. You got to clean it all the time. I don't want to clean
it. Yeah, it needs muck. Like, my friend has horses like 10 minutes from us. And I'm like, man, your amount of farm tours every day and mine are totally different.
So different. Yep. No, if you're rotationally grazing, oh man, just moving them through the field, so much nicer.
Yep. Especially in the winter, like where our bigger pasture isn't quite seeded well enough to put the cows on it quite yet, and the ground hasn't completely frozen. So we just have them on hay. So we just put like a 750 square bale of hay down, and they're good for days. Like,
oh, yeah.
We just kind of just, we had to castrate too yesterday, but, and put, we have to wean them, so we put those like gentle wiener things on their nose. But so far, so good.
Are you guys
gonna be happy?
Now I know you grew up around farm animals. Ray, have any experience in farm life?
No, he grew up on like West 100th in Cleveland, Ohio, like Bone Thugs and Harmony district. Like a city boy. Like his parents are from the city. He was from the city, and, like, I ask him all the time, like, do you ever think about doing this when you were, you know, in your 20s? He's like, no. Like, if you had told me I had a $30,000 or $20,000 tractor, I would have called you a liar. Like, I've totally converted him, like, as far as, I feel like if I could have made a partner on the internet, like, if I could have, like, build your own husband, like, Ray is just doing things that like I love and I didn't know I loved, and he's just becoming that more and more and more as the years go by. Like, he was like, I think I'm going to get a Dickie flannel, like an insulated Dickie flannel jacket. I was like, yes, get that. That'd be awesome. You would look fantastic. But he has dove into this. Like he castrated our bulls yesterday. Like,
no
he
way.
Has, yeah, he just has dove into this, and he's a strong, capable dude. And I feel like,
yeah, pull
especially
up,
if you're
kids, pull up a picture
dude.
Of Ray. If anybody doesn't know who we're talking about, he's certainly a strong dude. That is for sure.
He throws around full grown men for a living and does it in multiples. So like, pick up two dudes and check them. It's awesome.
So that's two dudes equal to like a small Highland. Is that about the?
Yeah. We had a he's punched our bull before for sure. He's come at us all. Flocked in his head. Ray was like, good job.
What was it like for you guys to make this transition into, you know, homestead life, you know, kind of living off the land, especially for your husband, for Ray, just like never being around this stuff? Was there a lot, was it a heavy learning curve? Have you kind of slid right into things?
Yes and yes. Like, you kind of have to go into homesteading or any kind of farming, especially if there's been no like roots laid before you, with like stupid amounts of blind faith. Like, you have to almost be like a little disassociated from what could actually happen to start it. Like, cause it is not cost effective, especially at first. It takes a long time.
So true.
But like Ray, again, another passion we share is our food. So like when I was like, hey, I think this is the best way, and I think this is like the healthiest we could be and our family could be. And like, especially like when COVID stuff started happening, we were like, we're so thankful we did this, and we dove into it even more. Yeah, it was scary, but like, it's so like worth it. Like, not a lot of things, especially nowadays, are you able to like see what the work you're doing. Like, if you work like a 9-to-5 and you're working for like a bigger company, you don't see the real work you're doing. Even at WWE, like, you're part of a big community. You're part of this entity that you'll never be as big at. And here, like, I see what I do every day. And I see it grow, and I see that it's taken care of. And it gives you like a sense of purpose that I don't think you can find really with anything else. You know, especially like when we harvest, and you know, we got these cows when they were like, our bull was like a year and a half, and we're like, man, it's gonna be a long time before we butcher. Like, if you do grass fed animals, it's years of investment, and that's like scary to like, what if something happens, right? Where you're gonna butcher it, or like, what if, big what ifs, oh, and yeah. You just kind of have to not think about them and just keep going.
I know you mentioned your son there. You got plans for him to serve him liver and onions. How else, you know, how else is this homestead going to play into your son's life as he gets older?
He's eating 3 pounds of dirt by the time he's 2 years old. He is out here with the chickens all the time. We do farm trips a lot with him on my back. Like, he's going to be involved as he's going to let me keep him involved. You know, I firmly believe that like, kids are meant to fall down, get hurt, and get dirty. So I am excited. You know, he'll be 10 months tomorrow, and he's just now kind of like standing, but he loves it outside. He like loves the water. He's not like a scared child, which I'm thankful for, because I'm a very aggressive person. Like, I struggle with the thing every day of like, am I doing enough, or am I like getting him outside enough, or am I, you know, like, it's super, like, it's 20 degrees here today. I'm like, man, I don't know if I should take him outside, and it's super cold. But I feel like the fact that I'm worried about it means I hopefully am doing enough. I mean, what would your advice be? You got 1,000 kids.
I have a couple of them.
You guys got a football team over there.
Honestly, I mean, homesteading for us has become such a part of just how we do everything with our kids, right? So at that age, I mean, 10 months old, right? So we have videos, and I've seen in some of your guys' videos the same thing where he's in the backpack, right? You're wearing him in the backpack or in the front pack there, and you're out there doing chores, and he's playing with the animals. And then, you know, as he's getting older, he's by your side. He's not helpful. It takes a long yeah. time for them to actually be helpful. Now I'm fortunate. I have some really helpful homestead kids. But it plays such a part, I think, with, I mean, you know, we homeschool our kids, so they're here, they're learning on the farm all day, they're working, they're learning about science, they're learning about math, they're learning about stuff we never learned in school, you know, where our food comes from, actual, like, business skills, and each one of them has their different endeavors. You know, my son raises chickens, and he wants to sell the chicken breed, he's got some eggs to sell, my daughter's
got goats. Joe Salatan mindset about it, yeah.
Yeah, so they all have their own little things, and I think, because I didn't grow up like this, right? And this is funny, because for you guys, like, you grew up with some farm background, Ray didn't. Kay grew up here on this farm. I was in town. I wasn't in, you know, Cleveland, you know, thug life, but I was in town. Yeah, right. I was away from anything like this. And I remember our house in town. We had a little, you know, quarter acre plot or whatever it was. We had a backyard and a fence, and we had a really tall, high fence. It was, you know, a 7 or 8 foot fence, and you couldn't even see through it. But there was a strip of woods in between my house growing up and the next door neighbor. And I used to just imagine, like, oh, man, what's in that strip of woods? And Sarah, I'm not kidding you. This strip of woods was like 50 feet in between a neighbor and us. It was like the littlest strip of woods. But I used to just imagine.
What a new world.
Yeah, like if I could crawl through the fence, what would I find? And then I remember getting older and going to friends' houses. One of my friends lived off in the country and he had a couple acres of woods and just loving it. Just thinking like, oh man, this is the best. So now I have kids who have it and they're all spoiled. They're spoiled farm kids. They're, another cow birth. Okay, yeah. What is it? A cow? A heifer? Okay, good. Whatever. So I don't know. Maybe if they have it, they don't love it as much. But I think when you raise your kids on the farm, the lessons they learn, the work, the you know, just the connection with our food. Look at how in the world now, the total disconnect between our food system and how that does lead to things like CAFOs, right? How that does lead to, you don't mistreat your farm animal when you're the farmer. But yeah. If someone else is doing it by proxy, that allows for, worse things to happen. You would never do that to your cows. You would always give your cows the best you could possibly give and the best you could do. You know, as you look forward, as you and Ray look forward with your son coming up, what plans do you guys have for the homestead? Where do you see it in, 5 years and beyond?
First of all, I feel for Kendra. I know how hard it is. And I don't know if she's used to it now. She'll have so many kids. But I know how hard it is for me to kind of slow down and be inside with the kids. So, Kendra, I commend you. we want to see out of our homestead that we don't need to go to the store about things we're not passionate about, if that makes sense. Like, I don't grow things. I grow beef and meat and eggs. I don't grow, I like mushrooms. I like to eat potatoes. I like to, I like certain things that I'm not passionate about whatsoever. So I'm hoping in like 5 years, we're not buying meat anymore whatsoever. We wouldn't really have to leave here if we didn't want to, is the goal. I want to be more self-sufficient than we are now. That being said, we are pretty self-sufficient as is, but it's never enough. I need more. So we're hoping to get sheep and pigs, and we might crossbreed some of our Highlands to get a better fat content. Like, there's lots of things we're mulling around in our heads right now. And who knows, a year, 2 months from now, I could want something completely different. So that's cool.
That's part of the fun, I think. We're the same way. Every couple of years it changes, but that's one of the things we love about it.
Like, this is what I think I want my homestead to be. We'll see what actually happens.
Yeah, 10-year plans never work great for us for the homestead itself, because it always, we have a beautiful, amazing 6 month out of year fruit orchard that's now in Connecticut, and here we are in Pennsylvania. So, but that's part
of the
fun.
A lot of good.
Yeah, no, Sarah, you guys have a ton of cool stuff to see between Instagram, between the YouTube channel. Tell everybody watching, where can they find what you're up to and follow along on this awesome journey you guys are up on.
Yes, of course. I'll start with the biggest one, I guess. My Instagram is Sarah Rowe, just my name. I'm better about posting stuff on there. One of our like day-to-day stuff, farm, gym, babies, dogs. We have all the chickens are running in the coop. Everything's okay. We have a YouTube channel that we were heavy on, and we kind of let teeter off a little bit, but we're coming back eventually. I commend you, Austin, about how consistently you guys have dropped content, because it's not easy. But that's Roseborg TV. Roseborg TV on YouTube is kind of like our day-to-day wrestling, farming, Cash when he was a little younger, and kind of our mindset behind the farm and everything. Definitely want to get back on that, so stay tuned for more episodes.
This would be a perfect time, Ray, as we put this video out, get a lot of new viewers.
It will be the perfect time. I remember watching Homesteading and being like, man, if we could get with these guys one day, that'd be sweet. It's here, and I've not even updated on my YouTube show like a jackass.
It takes me a while to edit. You got at least a week. Get something out there.
Okay, we got a week, man. We put an episode out. you said this. But yeah, Sarah Rowe on Instagram, Roseborg TV on both Instagram and YouTube. And my husband's Eric WWE. He's still a WWE superstar on Friday Night SmackDown. He's a big scary Viking on TV with a really large partner. And yeah, that's me. Awesome. That's what I got going on.
Well, thank you so much.
This was only half of the entire podcast that Sarah and I recorded that day. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll love the full-length extended version, which is available to Homesteady Pioneers. In that, we covered a little bit of health on the homestead. Sarah talked about eating a carnivore diet and how the homestead works along with that.
Sometimes, some days, we just go full, like, carnivore-ish, kind of call it. I have it's called a mast cell syndrome. So, like, I am not able to break down histamines in my body, so... Yeah.
She also shared some great tips on eating liver, if that's something that you want to do but haven't been able to figure out how to enjoy doing.
Put everything in the food processor. So I put like the whole liver in there and like grind it up, and I make like a liver hash.
Homesteady Pioneers gain access to all the extended versions of our podcast. Plus, they're invited to join us live when we interview guests and ask questions of the guests live. That sounds like something you're interested in, click the box. It just appeared on the screen. Or if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast, you'll find a link in the description of this podcast. Become a Homesteady Pioneer. You help us produce this show, and in turn, we'll instantly have access to all the extended versions of our podcast, which are about twice as long as the public versions that you get to watch here on YouTube.